All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Chan. I hope you all had a great week, a good February. We got hammered with snow this month. I think we got like a little over 2 feet and then like another foot, some ice, and then it was like 50 degrees one day. And welcome to New York and our bipolar weather system. It's not global warming. It's just the weather has weird patterns sometimes.
You know, you're right. You know, I heard some things on global warming that really make a lot of sense. And when you stop to think about it, I don't know if we talked about this the last time about the shift in the magnetic fields, mm-hmm. but the North and South Poles. But there was a fellow who wrote a book based on the book that Al Gore wrote on the environment. And the three scientists wrote this book, and they get a lot of information now from the satellites in outer space that over the last 40 years, forest fires in California have been cut by half. But there's double amount of trees that have grown in that time. And there's 84 million dead trees in the woods that make for kindling. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the more houses are being burned is because people are putting housing developments right
where
in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in the woods. They're cutting out, but there's still all woods around them. And the global ice caps, how they say they're melting, you know, the North Pole. Well, in the last 40 years, the ice has doubled, and the polar bear population has doubled. And if all the ice caps melted in the North Pole, how they used to say all the, you know, the East Coast will be flooded and there will be no rise in the water in the ocean because that's all water ice, mm-hmm. and it'll just be displacement.
Well, I mean, the ice is already in the water, really.
That's right.
So, like, it's the same as if you have ice cubes.
Exactly.
In your glass of water, when your ice cubes melt,
Your water doesn't
rise because it's already displaced.
That's
that
right.
Water when you put them in.
And the South Pole, that ice is land ice, so you would have a problem, mm-hmm. but it's so cold down there, it'll take a million years for it to cool down. Mm-hmm. But, so it's really not as cut and dried as they want to make it seem. Now, I know this is going to upset you two, but there is a worldwide shortage of barley. And as everybody knows, what barley is a big ingredient of. And the two reasons why there's a shortage of barley is
pizza?
Because, what's that?
Oh, beer.
Barley beer.
Pizza.
Well, if you want a barley pizza, you could probably get it. But most of the barley is from the Eastern European countries like Russia, Hungary, and that area over there. And
it's all the craft beer connoisseurs.
Right. And they had a real hot summer last year. But what barley needs to grow is carbon dioxide. So with all the environmentalists cleaning up the atmosphere, it's not getting enough carbon dioxide to grow. So we might have a beer shortage, or beer prices may go way up, they were saying.
That's why they're $9 a pint.
That's right. And it may go up more because it's, I think your craft beer's okay, because I think they make those out of some different things, too.
It depends what it is,
right,
yeah.
Right, depends what it is. So you may be okay. You may have to find a new one, but yeah, I heard that the other day. I was floored, you know,
because
I was looking for barley. My wife wanted to make beef barley soup. You can't even find it on the shelves.
That's crazy.
So, anyway, that's my thing for the environment.
Yeah, I think global warming, like we do, obviously, there are human factors because, mm-hmm. I mean, the Earth wasn't made really for humans, and we have put a footprint into it. But, like, how big really is that footprint? I don't think it's enough to change the weather patterns like they suggest it is. I just think that we haven't been around long enough to experience the Earth's change in weather patterns.
Right.
And so weather patterns are going to change, and we're not going to know why, because we haven't been here long enough to experience that.
Right.
just like we watch other planets' weather patterns, we see storms on planets and stuff like that. Like, I don't think it's all because of us. Sure. I don't think we have that big of an impact to.
I don't think we have that big of a capability. I mean, and they have cleaned up a lot of it. I mean, you know, but you know, with this Ortez or Kez or OEC or OCD lady there, you know, she's worried about cow farts.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, back in prehistoric times, she thinks one cow farts that much. You should see what a dinosaur used to do. I mean, you couldn't go in that area for 5 days with so much methane gas. But, I mean, you know, this stuff doesn't really
add up. Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
And I think our biggest impact is, like, on wildlife and ocean life, like the garbage and pollution and, like, quality of air that we breathe. So I think our biggest impact is just on ourselves, really.
And I think a lot of the stuff we make, like chemicals that we used to use for weed killing, and now they've kind of cleaned that up because there was so much bad garbage. And that has to affect the soil and that. But now Australia, a couple of years ago, had outlawed suntan lotion because... when you go in the water, it washes off, and it was affecting the coral. It was killing off the coral. So now I think Hawaii is going to, or they have banned suntan lotion. And I think that wherever there's coral, they're going to do the same thing because it's a proven fact that unless they come up with a different
sunscreen. So what do you do for that?
I don't know. I don't know. Have you ever watched Seinfeld?
I've seen a few episodes.
You remember when Kramer put butter on him and went on the roof? And Newman thought he smelled like a turkey, and every time he looked at him, he was like a turkey laying in a lounge chair. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know, but you got to, I mean, because skin cancer, and my doctor knows this because I've had skin cancer, that Australia is the number one country in the world that has skin cancer. So they were trying to...
It's because they can't use sunscreen.
Right. And now and he said he was over there giving a seminar. And he said, and then a week later they banned sunscreen. And he said, and that's because they're closest to the sun down there. You know, I mean, they're pretty much right up there. And it's an open country. And so we add a lot of stuff ourselves and chemicals that we may not have to use. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know...
The weather and everything.
The weather and cars being run by gasoline, I don't see that as with the emission controls, and I don't see that as a big deal anymore.
No. And another thing about, like, cars, they have this new, like, engine start-stop thing. Right. When you brake at a... stop sign or a stoplight fully, the engine turns off. Well, and they've been doing that. This to like go green. Okay. But you have to think about how much wear and tear that adds on your starter, because you go from just turning it on when you leave to turning it off, from your engine having to start and stop and start again every time you make a full break.
Well, not only on your starter, but, and I'm not a car expert, and I don't know if Joey is, but I don't know if it takes, when you start your car, if it takes more juice to start your car than it does when you're driving.
Is it really more green or convenient?
Right.
Who knows?
I mean, you don't want more batteries to be disposed of.
No.
Now, I know, like, the electric car, their batteries, you know, they don't have they have a 10-year life, I think, but the batteries cost like $10,000. So, I mean, so even if you try to go green with an electric car, you're going to end up paying a lot more. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Don't know. All right. So, I did want to talk more about the State of the Union, because as great of an episode that we had last week, I really didn't touch on most of the stuff I wrote down. So, I don't want to, like, go too in depth, but I did want to just talk about some quotes that I pulled out from it and like my thought on it. Not really I probably like won't answer my questions, but I'm going to throw some questions out there. Maybe my listeners can send answers or something, or maybe Rick has some ideas. So Trump in the State of the Union was talking about this big economic boom that we've been having. And he said in just 2 years, we've launched an unprecedented economic boom. So I had a quick thought on that. And I was like, is this a good or bad thing? Are we creating bubbles? How much of this is the government in play to this boom? We've seen it before with the housing market boom, the internet, stock market booms. Like, yeah, it seems like a boom. And then we find out that really government just put a lot of money into it and created this bubble and it collapses and then everything goes to hell. So we may be having a boom, but I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing yet. He said, we've created 5.3 million new jobs and 600,000 new manufacturing jobs, and we are just getting started. So my quick thought on that was, what jobs were they? I would have liked him to just give some examples. I'm sure it's easy research that you could do or whatever, but that when I was listening to it, that's just what I had. And he said, wages are rising at the fastest pace in decades. And my thought on that was, what does this do to employment and the cost of goods? Because minimum wage, raising it is not a good incentive to employment. So you're raising minimum wage, which means the company has to pay out more money. They're not able to, if they're not bringing in more profit to match that, they're going to have to let people go. Their employees are going to have to do more work. And then the amount of more work that those employees are doing, they should be getting paid more, but they can't get paid more because their wages just got raised. And it's going to be harder for people to employ just people off the street because they don't have much experience. So if they have to automatically pay them, say, $15 an hour, they're going to have to look for somebody with certain skill sets and blah, blah, blah for just a simple job, because they're going to have to pay them so much. Okay. You're not going to pay someone off the street $15 an hour. And that puts a disincentive mm-hmm. on working and employment, because it's going to be harder to get a job because they have to be paid $15 an hour. And people aren't going to be hiring as much. So I really don't think raising minimum wage is the answer.
Well, let me just put something to you now. Do you see by not raising the minimum wage, you're making a larger area of those that can sustain themselves with a job and pay for an apartment and maybe a car payment to, I mean, you really can't say middle class anymore because what used to be the middle class is struggling. But that area in between, because if, let's say you have a job and you have your own apartment mm-hmm. and, you know, you have to pay for your rent and your heat and lights and if you want TV, well, cable TV doesn't really bother you not having, but if you wanted cable TV and you weren't making, I mean, if you lived in an area like Saratoga where you had to pay, you know, $1,300, $1,200 a month rent because you can't find anything less than that.
Saratoga is ridiculous.
How can you, if you're not making, even $15 an hour probably isn't enough to cut it. And you can't go, like a lot of workers in Saratoga are service industry workers. Mm-hmm. So if you live outside, you're going to have to move either west or east, because if you go to Wilton or Greenfield or Malta, I mean, they're Boston Spa, their rents are getting high too because of the benefit of Saratoga, being around Saratoga. So that means you'd have to drive into work, so you're wasting more gas. And mm-hmm. so is that lack of minimum wage a deterrent for people to get jobs? I mean, or is it better for them to go on welfare because they're not making money and they figure, why should I work, because I'm not going to make it anyway.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the only thing with raising minimum wages is that also just raises the price of goods.
Oh, and I so understand.
It backfires really people are going to spend out more money and they're going to be cutting jobs. And so people are losing jobs and now they don't have money. Mm-hmm. I think there shouldn't be like a minimum wage. It should be an agreement between an employer and an employee based on their skills and their knowledge and everything. And they come to an agreement of what their wage is. And that's really how it should be. I don't think the state should have any say of every company has to pay X amount of dollars, because it's not realistic, especially for small businesses, like family, locally owned businesses. Oh, yeah. Like they can't afford a staff because wages are so high. They're maybe just starting up or whatever. And that really hurts them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I own two small businesses and I know what that would have had on me. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you're going to find people that will take a low wage job. That's going to be your person off the street that just needs a job to get off their, to get on their feet.
Might be a level entry job.
Yeah.
And then they can.
And so, I mean, you're going to find people that'll do work for a little bit less money. And if you don't think you're worth that amount of money that the employer can pay, you find a different job. Mm-hmm. And so I really think it should just be this communication between the employer and employee. And that's going to give the most benefit to everybody and give the most fair cost of goods and everything like that.
Right.
But this $15 minimum wage idea is crazy, because why should somebody right out of college get a job for $15 an hour, but someone at McDonald's,
right,
with no experience in anything, not saying it's a bad job, because like, some people love it,
right,
but they also have to get $15 an hour. I just.
Well, maybe there should be more flexibility with a business owner to say, all right, I'm going to hire you at the, let's say the minimum wage is $12.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a really good employee, after 3 months call you in and say, all right, I'm going to give you $1.50 increase. And I mean, because a good employee can make an employer money.
Mm-hmm.
A bad employee can cost an employer money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing good in a job, then he can give you, each employee doesn't have to make the same amount of money. If you're doing a good job, he may be able to give you $1.50 raise. All right. And then if you do better and you're making more, you know, making the business better, then maybe he can give you more money a year from then and build you up and not have to do it to everybody, because the other people may just be getting along because it's a job, you know.
Right.
Maybe the flexibility should be in with the, like you said, with the
like
owner
more
of the
negotiable
business.
But like just to have that like $12 starting right off the bat, like you can't just take someone that needs a job that'll work for you for a few months to get on their feet again, because you're not going to pay them $15 an hour and you can find someone better. But also, like, say there's a company and you have some people making $15 an hour already, some people making 12, and the minimum wage goes up to 15. You now have to bring the $12 an hour up to 15.
Right.
And the people that are at 15 already worked their way up to 15,
right,
and now they're all making 15. But the people that were already at 15 did so much work and are doing so much more work than the people that just got raised to the new minimum wage.
Right.
But the other people aren't getting compensated for that.
No, they're going to go to their boss and say,
and
I want $18 an hour.
Right, and they're not going to get that, because now they're spending so much more money, and it just, it's such a disincentive, and I really don't like it. But that I see all the time. It seems like both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, are always like, raise the minimum wage, blah, 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 blah. I just don't see the benefits, really, and how it's really their business being in business.
Well, they don't, the reason they don't care, it's a political issue that a lot of people like.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, raise it to $20, I'll be happy. So they use that.
Yeah, they just want the votes,
to get,
really.
Right,
yeah,
for the votes. I mean, and half of them probably don't even know what things cost, because they have aides or people to go out and they make big money, and most of them get wealthy once they get elected.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and most of the people voting don't understand economics,
right,
and aren't thinking about how a $15 minimum wage is going to affect everything.
Sure.
So they just hear, oh, more money for me, and that's good. I like that. And they're not thinking about the bigger picture.
That's right. And, you know, just to interject something here about voting, it's not, and then get back to the State of the Union. There's a push to lower the voting age to 16. If you can believe
we'll
it.
We'll be ruined.
Can you imagine if that ever happened? It's the socialist side of the Democratic Party.
Of course they want to lower
the age to 16.
Because a 16-year-old
doesn't even know how to read or write, most of them, because they don't pay attention in school.
Well, they probably can write, but they probably can't spell well. I know I can't, because spell check.
The students whose parents take an active role in their life and education, there's a lot of smart 16-year-olds, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, all they want to do is go out, have fun, and they 75% of high school graduates going to a two-year school have to take remedial math and reading classes because they can't mm-hmm. do math or read. So, I mean, that's a scary thing, knowing that they could have been voting for 2 years.
Yeah. If we have 16-year-olds vote, it's going to be really bad because they're still in public school, most of them, and they're still getting pushed socialist ideas in their heads because that's just how the schools are run, basically. Right. And
what issues do they know? I mean,
not really. Only what they're being told about as current events in their history class.
Scary when I heard that.
Yeah. Something I did like out of the State of the Union, Trump said nearly 5 million Americans have been lifted off of food stamps. Mm-hmm. That's really, really good. Yep. I also noted, but how much of that is because of stricter regulations? I didn't look into it, but I don't know if maybe they've added more, what are they called?
Well, regulations.
Regulations, yeah. I was thinking of a different word, but I don't know if they added stuff to that and got stricter on it or whatever, but that's awesome. A little side note that I thought was funny when he said we are considered the hottest economy anywhere in the world, not even close. I wrote down Peep Sanders not buying it. If you saw Bernie Sanders is over like...
Yeah, I know.
Let's see what else here. Oh, he says unemployment lowest in half a century. African American, Asian American, Hispanic American lowest ever. Unemployment for disabled all-time low. I said, I wonder how much of this is due to, again, new regulations on discrimination and everything like that.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't really know.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because he created, I mean, what was it? A million new jobs. So, you know, and not everyone wants to do a job, all right? But there are people that need jobs that will take them to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's getting, in the polls, he is getting a bigger share of the Spanish and the black votes in his numbers. And they said that generally the African-American vote for a Republican candidate was like 8%. And I think there's now in polling, there's a 20% upswing. And the same with the Spanish vote because, and we'll get to that when you talk about the border and things like that. But those numbers have risen, and they do like Trump for that. Maybe not 100% because they still think they can get whatever they want from the Democratic Party and the way it benefits in that. But there are, I mean, I listened to some interviews the other day with African Americans, on a talk show, and they said that everybody they know, all their friends that are black, praise Trump for doing what he did for getting jobs going again. So, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Oh, definitely. But I was just, when I was listening to it, I was wondering if there were any new laws or regulations on discrimination that might add to that number, because I'm not aware of that side of business or any new laws about that. Let's see. He said massive tax cut for working families and doubled the child tax credit. So tax cut and anything, I like that. Doubling the child tax credit, as good as it sounds, it's a bad incentive because, I mean, the child tax credit is already a bad incentive. I mean, giving us more money back is cool, but that just gives people who can't afford children double the incentive
to have children.
I'm just going to say I didn't see a doubling in my child tax credit. So I don't know what No, I don't know where this is coming from.
Well, maybe. Well, if he did it in the beginning of the year, it should have been in this year's tax code, unless it's going to be in next year's.
It might be in the next, because if he just did it in 2018, we just filed for
2018.
I'm sorry. Taxes confuse me.
Yeah, no, you're filing for the year back of what year you're in.
Right. And so, but if he did it then, it wouldn't count for the whole year.
Probably not.
So it would probably take effect this year.
I would think so.
Like when he cut out the individual mandate, it didn't take effect that year.
Right.
It took effect the next year. So maybe I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. But I didn't see it this year, and I was mad. When I listen to that, I'm like, that's not true. I didn't see it. But I do think it's double the bad incentive for having children if you can't afford them. Oh, yeah. I wrote down, why were my refunds so small? we talked about this one. The end of the estate death tax. That's good. Eliminated the individual mandate. Yes. The Right to Try Act, almost none of the Democrats stood up for that, which is interesting.
For what?
When he brought up the Right to Try Act, all the Republicans stood up and almost none of the Democrats stood up, and I was concerned about that. So the Right to Try Act, it is a good step forward, but I still think it's a little crazy that you have to go through X, Y, Z before you can try other alternative medication. Okay. But it is a good step in the right direction. He also pointed out that taxes and regulations drive out business, which was interesting to hear a president say. We are the number one producer of oil and natural gas in the world. I didn't know that before this. For the first time in 65 years, we are a net exporter of energy. Our economy is envied by the world. Our military is the most powerful by far. And I wrote down for that, I said, okay, but at what cost? So yes, we have a powerful military. Our economy, yes, we say it's booming, it's good, but like I said, I don't know if that's good or bad yet, because I don't know how much the government is putting into that bubble of an economy boom. So I just want to know, at what cost is it taking to make us great? And is it going to collapse and we're all going to feel that?
But the thing is, I mean, if he, let's say they did rework some of the benefit programs that people get. It maybe wasn't it by creating more jobs. It may have been not an incentive for people to get a job, because a lot of people don't, you know, they'd like to collect from as long as they could. But if they said to me, Rick, you're getting benefits and food stamps and heat. What we want you to do is to find a job, and you can only make X amount a month, but then we'll still give you benefits, but you have to get a part-time job. Otherwise, you're going to lose some benefits. And I know people where I am that do that, that are, you know, in a program like that. And I think it's good. So what it's doing, it's making them work, which hopefully by getting them out and making them feel better about themselves, maybe they'll get a full-time job, you know, and get off of benefits. So mm-hmm. when they say that the benefits have been cut, that might be one of the programs that cut the benefits yeah. that, you know, mm-hmm. maybe not 100%, but.
So when he says that the state of the union is strong and mentions winning, everybody started shouting USA mm-hmm. like it was like a sports game. And I was just like a little sickened by it, kind of, because like it's like very like nationalism is weird to me. Like, it's okay to love your country, obviously, and stuff like that. But I didn't feel like the setting was really right for it. It's supposed to be more of like a
dignified.
Yeah. And I was just, it's like the time Obama mentioned the drone bombing and everyone was applauding and standing up and getting riled up about that. But everyone's out here shouting USA, and all I could think of was a football game. And I just didn't like it.
Well, you know,
didn't like it. No, I'm not a communist.
It's better than the Democrats standing up and saying M-E-X-I-C-O, M-E-X-I-C-O, yelling Mexico. You know, I mean, I'd rather right. have them yell USA.
But like, nationalism's weird to me, just because it is good to like your country if you're doing good things and you really believe in it, I guess. But like, is it blind nationalism? What happens if our country goes down a wrong path? Like, just hypothetical situation. Say we ended up with a dictatorship. Are people still going to be blindly following them with nationalism, shouting USA? Like, those are not, it's not, nationalism can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. Like, you can't have too much of something or it's not good.
No, you're right.
Just my thoughts.
I mean, look at Venezuela.
Right.
Richest country, one of the richest countries in the world, and they went downhill so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the people aren't happy with the country, and they're leaving in drones, so.
I did like he brought up great things are happening in the U.S., and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars. That's good. Now he brought that up. He brought a little bit of light to some things that libertarians try to shout out that no one listens to. So I liked those parts. Politics or ridiculous partisan investigations. He brought up the investigations a lot. He said no peace or legislation with war and investigation. This is the era of cooperation. He touts the opioid crisis action, farm bills, VA reform, criminal justice reform. I think we talked about that last time. The criminal justice. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Let's see here. He finally brought up immigration. We talked about immigration. He did start talking about the sexual assault stuff. And that was to play to the Women's Working Party, mm-hmm. I guess. This was about the immigration stuff. Sorry. That was still on that. Let's see. I will never abolish ICE. One thing I didn't like was we kept calling immigrants illegal aliens. I just don't like calling them illegal aliens because they're still humans. Or just call them
yeah, but
undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, that sounds too good, though.
But, like, I mean, they are still people. I don't like dehumanizing them because then the way we may treat them, they are still human.
But I think maybe you have to look up the definition of alien, too.
I know. It's like a foreigner.
Right.
But.
And no, I know what you're saying, though.
It just dehumanizes them a little bit. And I just didn't like it. I just don't like it. What else did I have here? Oh, here's where he started playing to the women's working party, the people on white. He started talking about women in the workforce in Congress, and he started playing to them, saying that they weren't supposed to stand up and clap, because he did start saying that there's more women working now than ever, there's more women in Congress now than ever because of him, and blah, blah, blah. I don't really know if it's because of him. It's just the way society's going. But they really did like that, and they stood up and clapped for him, and it was funny because he joked around about that. He did announce that we are launching the first ever government-wide initiative ever focusing on economic power for women in developing countries. But why? I just want to know, why are we going to other countries and spending our money and getting their empowering their women in developing countries when we should be spending money and working on the stuff in our country first? Because I thought his whole slogan was make America great again. So I just said, why though? Why?
He wanted them to stand up and clap. That's all.
That I know. He just wanted them to. That was for them. He started talking about trade policies and tariffs on goods in China. What were my thoughts on that? He's working on a trade deal with China to reduce trade deficit and protect American jobs. I don't think it's the government's job to interfere with trade. And tariffs can go bad. They can definitely go bad. But, I mean, if we're going to get rid of them soon, good. More announcements. Need to pass the USMCA to replace NAFTA. Bring back manufacturing jobs, increase agriculture, protect intellectual property, and ensure that our cars are made in the USA. So that, I wrote down, sounds like communist Russia when they control business. So there was a time when everything in Russia had to be made in Russia. Mm-hmm. The cars were not good. The cars that they made, you can look up pictures, videos, and stuff like that. All their stuff sucked. And I just don't like that he wants our cars to be made in the USA. It just made me think of communist Russia.
Or Germany. Right. Because Hitler's favorite car was the Beetle.
So, one communist flag for Trump. But I don't see much else than that. He wants to pass the Reciprocal Trade Act. If charged unfair tariff, we can charge them back. I don't think you should be playing with trade. That's just my thought. Crumbling infrastructure, cutting edge industries of the future. This is not an option. This is a necessity. I don't know how I feel about infrastructure. I feel like private companies can deal with infrastructure if we let them. Is it really government's role?
Well, you know, I don't know if you ever heard of Robert Byrd. He was a senator from Virginia, I think. And in his early days, he was a Ku Klux Klan leader. And anyway, he was elected senator, and he was senator for like 30, 35 years. Well, you know how they get pork in the budget, okay? They built a highway, brand new highway, and I think it's about 100 and some miles long. And do you know it's never been used? So if you give a state money for infrastructure, and they call it the bridge to nowhere because it goes absolutely nowhere. So how much did that cost? So if you're allowing that to be infrastructure, I mean, that's pretty sad, because that money, I'm sure, could have gone to public transportation or even help cities do their infrastructure. I mean, Saratoga's infrastructure, underneath the ground is so bad that they're still using 100-year-old sewer pipes and water lines, and that's bad, because that's why we keep getting water main breaks. Well, some of that infrastructure money could go to cities to redo their infrastructure. And around here, Troy, they always have these water main breaks, and they don't have the money to fix, you know, they don't get enough taxes because they don't have enough businesses in the city like we're fortunate to have. So I think that has to be reworked into a better way. Make sure if you get money. Now, see, my brother works in Boston for the state. When he first started, his job was, if you were a business and you got a grant to do certain things, he went and audited once a year to make sure the money that you got, you were using for its purpose. Because there's a lot of businesses that get money and they don't use it for what they intended it to. So I think that should be the same thing like infrastructure. I mean, all right, maybe cities need help, but they shouldn't be allowed to build a highway for 160. So the highway to nowhere, if you look it up, I mean, you know, for things like that, it's just a waste of millions of dollars.
He also announced he wants to lower the cost of healthcare and drugs. That's cool. Protect pre-existing conditions, however he's going to do that. Require drug companies and insurance companies and hospitals to disclose prices to foster competition and bring costs way down. That's a libertarian idea. Because not all companies will disclose the different price, their prices of the actual drugs that you're buying. And so you just have no idea until you go to buy it, and you can't like shop around for, that's how prescription drugs work. You can't really, you don't know the prices of all these things
right
until you go to buy it. And so are you really getting the best deal? So he wants more competition to, that's one of his ideas, to bring down the cost of drugs. Good idea. Let's see. The budget will ask to eliminate the HIV epidemic within 10 years, defeat AIDS in America and child cancer and beyond. I don't know what the beyond means, and I don't know how he's going to do that, but okay. He brought up a cancer survivor. That was really nice. It was this little girl. School choice. He didn't say much about that, so I'm confused about what that means. But school choice is something he wants to do. Nationwide paid family leave. It's not a good idea. Requiring all businesses to give paid family leave. This is a play to give votes. That one is. Because it's not a good idea.
No, it isn't.
No. You shouldn't. Employers shouldn't have to absolutely pay for family leave. Terminate late term abortions. I can go with that. And he defined, at first I was like, what is late term? But he went on to define it. Late term meaning a child who can feel pain. Let's see. And then he talked about New York's new abortion law and how in Virginia, who supports afterbirth abortion, which he really hammered on Cuomo for that. He's very upset. But I thought it was strange. He brought God and religion into it. And so I wrote down separation of church and state. I felt like that shouldn't have brought into this.
Right.
And it's the state of the union.
But you know what? How do you... Because I've been thinking on the separation of church and state. If you just mention religion... I think the Constitution says that you cannot establish a state religion. So if you talk about religion, are you actually going against that, or are you just bringing up a religious fact? Because I know for a long time that a Catholic could never get elected president because they said that the Pope would be running the country. And that was until John Kennedy, you know, got elected. Because, and there were pretty good candidates early on that were Catholic that never had a chance. But, so, you know, I'm kind of fuzzy about that separation of church and state. I think if you just talk about it and give your view on something, I don't think you're really creating a religious state. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but that's what came into my mind. I was just like, really supposed to be talking about religion right now.
Because don't forget, every meeting of Congress or the Senate, they have an official chaplain who could be any religion. I mean, they like a rabbi or a minister or priest, and they open with a prayer.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's weird, too.
Well, I know, but I see nothing wrong with that, because they're not, they don't have like one denomination all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they have different denominations and they're not setting up. It's like when I went to school, I used to say a prayer before class and pledge allegiance to the flag, and then they eliminated both of those. So I don't know, just different.
He also wants a missile defense system, which we really need to put money into a missile defense system. He said, never apologize for advancing our interests. We followed our agreement to back off nuclear weapons, but Russia did not. So we are backing out of the treaty, the INF treaty. We have no choice. Perhaps we can make another agreement, adding China and other places. So for the people that think that he's a puppet of the Russians, I mean, this is a clear reason why he's not. But anyway, do we really need to put more money into this? We will spend and innovate all others by... we will outspend and innovate all others by far. Outspending's not a good thing to do. He's talking about Korea. Our hostages have come home. Nuclear testing is stopped. And no launches in 15 months. If I had not been president, we would be in a major war with Korea, which might be true.
Yeah, it might be.
Because everyone was gung-ho that he's going to be killing us all over here with missiles. So. Right,
and he was starting to test the range of his missiles. So.
And he announces that he has a meeting with Kim in 2 weeks.
I think he leaves today, doesn't he?
This is 2 weeks from the State of the Union.
I think he leaves today to go to, I think they're meeting in Vietnam.
They are.
So I think he leaves today. I think the meeting is on Wednesday.
He announced the recognition of Venezuela's new president. I think we touched on that. He brought up how recently our country has been bringing up the call to adopt socialism, and all there were a bunch of boos in the crowd, and he looked directly at our AOC.
Yeah.
He goes, America was founded on liberty and independence, not on coercion and control. We were born free and will stay free. And then again, you get the USA chance. America will never be a socialist country. Again, USA chance. He started talking about the Middle East, and I think we talked about that last time because we were talking about the Middle East. But he did say, we killed a leader that attacked us, and everyone started clapping and cheering, so I'm just confused why we celebrate murder. Even though it was somebody that attacked us, do we have to celebrate it like that? Because, I mean, we did then go around and kill someone, too.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up the anti-Semitic shooting in Pittsburgh, and he wants to bring up sanctions against genocide, or whatever he said. We must confront anti-Semitism everywhere. So I don't know. I don't understand why people are saying he's basically Hitler.
Yeah, really?
So confused.
I mean, I think we have a Hitler, the senator from Minnesota there, the Muslim, the lady that said the only reason why we take care of Israel is because they pay us money to.
Oh, and then all this. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, there's an anti-Semitism right in our own Congress. And
so then he brought up the anti-Semitic stuff and then brought up all those people from the Holocaust. And I got very teary there. But yeah. That was about all I had.
Well, one other thing that you had said before is that the people that he had there, mm-hmm. and that he brought, he brought, you said this, that he had brought the right people there because,
he brought all the right people,
all great examples, and he used them in his speeches that it was good. I mean, the different subjects that he did, especially the Holocaust, people that he had. So I don't know. I love a lot of what Trump does. I don't like to listen to him speak though. I don't know why. He is. And his tweets. I mean, you know, you can call him comical, but he's kind of comical, but you know, I mean, just, I like to read what he says, not to listen to him.
Yeah. So Bernie Sanders is running for president, and we're all doomed because he's not facing Hillary. Because I hope he's not facing her. I haven't heard anything about her running. But it would be stupid of her to run again after being humiliated like that.
Yeah, I don't think she'd have a shot. And no. There's already 57 of declared candidates, so.
Right. So Bernie Sanders is running, and I think he has a strong chance of winning.
You do?
I think he has a very strong chance of winning. I mean, the push for socialism or democratic socialism in our country is so strong right now, and the people that hate Trump, I mean, Trump has, if he runs again, has a good chance of winning too. But I think it'll come down to Trump and Bernie Sanders. And that's just my guess. But I think it will come down to them. I mean, I think Trump has a strong shot of being reelected. And I also think Bernie Sanders will get there. So I'm not betting on it because I don't bet money. But
yeah, I know.
But this is my prediction. It's going to be Trump and Bernie Sanders to battle it out. And Bernie Sanders has great chance of winning, and I'm scared.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think that's right. And I think Trump has a large amount of people that are going to vote for him. On the other side, if Bernie Sanders is the candidate, there's a lot of Democrats that don't want socialism. All right.
But they don't want Trump either.
But I think here again, it's going to be the lesser of two evils, like Trump and Hillary was. Do you want to vote for Sanders, even though you don't believe in socialism, but you know how socialist he is? Or are you going to vote for Trump just so that you don't get a socialist in there to possibly ruin, you know, whatever we have?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be just amount the number of Democrats that will vote for Trump, because they'll vote against a socialist, where if you had another candidate in there that was maybe a centrist Democrat, that they would get the Democrat votes, and maybe the Republicans who don't like Trump. But I think if it's a matter of socialists versus Trump, I think Trump would come out on top.
I think the way the Democrats might think is that even if Bernie Sanders became president, that Congress could still overrule him.
Yeah, but look here, how many you got already that signed on to ABC's green initiative there? I mean,
so
you know, I mean,
I don't know. I think he has a strong chance. No. I think it's going to come down to them, and it's going to be a very close race.
I would love to see a debate between them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be a fun debate?
Yeah,
Bernie will be bouncing his head back and forth.
You're wrong.
Yeah, right.
You're wrong. No.
He'll be like, well, you know what? If you remember, they said that FDR was a socialist because he promised the people that he would give them, what was it, a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage?
Yep.
And they said that he had the the basics of socialism and his politics. And I mean, he was the only president that served almost 12 years. Then they passed the
because we were in war so long. Yeah.
Then they passed the amendment that you could only have two terms. But they said that he had a lot of socialist ideas.
Oh, definitely. He did the New Deal, right?
New Deal. Yeah.
Yeah, that was straight out of a socialist book.
Right.
Yeah, so I want all my listeners to put in who they think is going to come out to. And if it does, if you agree with us that it could be Trump and Bernie Sanders head-to-head, who do you think would win? This should be an interesting... I'll put a poll up on Facebook. So I think I'm going to cut it there. Going to enjoy a little bit of my Sunday and go to work later. And so that's all I have for today.
All right. Well, it was great being with you here today.
Yeah, great to be back.
And yeah, it is. It's always good to be back.
And we'll see you next time.